just about as much prayer as a patience. I learned that from my wife, and she learned it from me. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to read it now, but we'll get to it later. We're not going to deal with it right at the moment, but I want you to read it. Keep your finger in that place because we're coming back to us. 1 John chapter 5, and we'll begin with verse 10. I think this pulpit was made for Dave King. I better got my chin on the front of it here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Listen to every word. They're all important. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness, the Holy Spirit, in himself. And he who does not believe God, all right, is anybody here say, I don't believe in God? Well, if so, look what God says about you. He's made himself to be a liar. Unbelievers who don't accept the word of God are calling God a liar. Because he has not believed in the testimony, which is thy Bible, that God has given to his Son. And this is the testimony that God has, please note this, given us eternal life. And where is that life? This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God, well, it's simple, isn't it? He doesn't have life. But then I love that 13th verse. These things have I written unto you who believe. What does it say? In the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Father, we just thank you for your word. It's truth. Lord, it will stand the test of time. It will stand the denial of men, because it's the word that came forth from you. Just as you spoke to Moses and the prophets face to face, Lord, you've given us all we need in the word of God. And so we give you praise now. Lord, if there are those here without Christ, perhaps, Lord, some just do not have the assurance of salvation, we trust you'll just speak to us today by your Spirit, from your word, in Jesus' name. If you need a title to this message, you might call it From the Wheelbarrow to the Observatory. From the Wheelbarrow to the Observatory. Keep that in mind. We'll get back to it. I've been asked to tell how God raised up this assembly you folks are in, the one in Bellevue where I go, as well as Horton Haven Christian Camp. And we could not do that without talking about Mid-South Bible Camp. So all of those will come into play. But I'm really talking about what's happened from 1976 to 2022. First of all, I got a draft notice when I was a freshman in Peabody College, just after I turned 18 years of age. This goes way back, Dave, way back, even before Dave King. And the draft notice said, a few of you may remember it, the rest of you won't believe it. The draft notice said, your friends and neighbors have selected you for military service. Haven't found those folks yet. But he went on to say, you will appear. That was 1946. Well, it's interesting from my vantage point of being 94 years of age, to look back and see how the Lord was sort of manipulating, if you will, and directing, making me to make decisions that I didn't realize the consequences. For example, after I got that draft notice, I went and joined the Navy. And the Lord's hand was in that. Because after I joined the Navy, I got in the hospital corps, same as Dave and Gerald here. And I can see then, well, just for example, I came back off of boot camp leave, and I had a fever, so I had to go to sick bay. And the doctor said he's got scarlet fever. So they put me in the hospital. Well, it healed up in 3 days. All I had was three-day measles. So that was another way the Lord was putting me where he wanted. So I was supposed to go to Bethesda, Maryland. I missed that draft. So they sent me to California, to San Diego. Again, seeing how the Lord was directing. Incidentally, I spent 17 days in the hospital, 3-day measles, because some clerk lost my records. That's the Navy for you. But anyway, while I was in boot camp, in course school, I got drafted to go to Corona, California Naval Hospital, where we took care primarily care of TB patients who had been POWs of the Japanese. But it was there while I was at this particular place that men used to come from the assembly in Riverside, California, and teach a Bible class, some on Monday and then others on Friday. They call that port and starboard, don't you, Dad? Move one side to the other. And it was in that Bible class that I was told I was a sinner. And for the first time, I realized that the Bible declared me unworthy, undeserving, dead in sin, away from God. And I came to know the Lord Jesus. I'm going to have to fast forward this now to get to what you asked me to talk about, but it all goes back to this. And incidentally, when I left boot camp, I think there were 150 men in our group. 149 of us went to Corona. One went to where I wanted to go, was Memphis. I think he had some political influence. Anyway, I got saved while I was at the hospital. A fellow by the name of Kent Bolter, who's still a friend today, he's living out in California. He and I were walking up one night from the PX, that's the Navy's equivalent to Walmart, and he said, Brother Kessler asked me the other day if I knew for sure you'd ever trusted Christ. I had been a professing Christian, but I never accepted Christ. And he said, Brother Kessler asked me if I knew for sure. And I said, no, sir, I don't, but I'll ask him, are you? And I had to admit for the first time I'd never trusted Christ. Ken and I sat that night for about 2.5-3 hours pouring over the scripture. And just before I left, he prayed, Lord, please, please don't let Johnny make another false profession. That burned in my mind. I left my barracks and went down to the lake behind the hospital. The hospital had been a very, very exclusive country club before the Navy messed it up. I got down on my knees, and just like Jacob, I never walked the same since. I trusted Christ right there that night, September 10th, 1947. I was so excited. I knew it happened. It was real. I ran back to Kent's bunk, and he was asleep. Wake up, Kent. Wake up. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Not only that, I said, look, let's wake everybody in the barracks up. Dave, can you imagine to wake up 500 men and say, hey, this guy got saved? Kent said, I don't think that's a good idea. But I tell you that to say this. From that day to this, I've had a passion to tell people about Jesus. It's really been something I could not get away from. But shortly thereafter, I was received in the fellowship at the Riverside Assembly. They baptized me, and for the first time, I started breaking bread like we did here. I'm going to fast forward years later when I got home, and there was no assembly of such that I knew about. But I used to take the Greyhound bus to go to Louisville, Kentucky, just to be there on Sunday to break bread. It was that important to me. Well, why is that? Because the Lord said, do it. Do ye in this and remember me till I come. But I got back home and got married. And then we went to Emmaus Bible College. And I'm just looking to see if there's anybody here. Yeah, there are a few that aren't married, so I'm going to address this next thing to you. When we came home from our honeymoon, I took my bride and we lived at the funeral home. I was the last mortician by that time, a funeral director and embalmer. Now, you who are not married, be sure that the man you marry, or the lady, that you're willing to go to such extreme as to live in a funeral home. She had no question about it. Well, shortly thereafter, we went to Emmaus, and again, to fast forward, when we came home, we started meeting in our home. I went to the preacher that I had, the denomination I was raised in. Told him, I said, I've got saved, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. I know I have eternal life. He said, oh no, you've been mixed up with some of modernists that teach eternal security. I have yet to find one. But anyway, he offered me a job He's going to pay me $100 a month if I'd be youth director, to be pastor. I said, no thanks. I've seen something better. Just meeting simply in the name of the Lord Jesus and gathering around him on the Lord's day. Well, along about this time, Bill McDonald came to Nashville, and he and Harold Earthman, Doc Earthman, Ben's dad, were at the Montgomery Bell State Park. And Bill McDonald told Brother Earthman, this make a great place for a Bible conference. Well, Doc got on the job, and he pulled together three or four of us, and we had the first Bible conference at the Mid-South Bible in Montgomery Bell State Park. We stayed there for over 30 years, and some weeks we'd have over 300 people there. And there are two people here that I know of that went there, Teresa King. She was Teresa Johnson. Let me tell you about Teresa. When we first started meeting at this gospel tent and in the gospel chapel, Teresa would come down Louisiana Avenue, and for 1 week she'd have three kids, the next week four. The whole family began to come. And then Jerry, he got saved there too. So we praise the Lord for what he did there. So we met at Montgomery Bell State Park. By this time, David joined with us, and we were doing CEF camps down there. But the state of Tennessee, and I love Tennessee, but I have to be honest, they so neglected their state parks that on one occasion, it was pouring down rain on a Sunday afternoon, and I was standing out there, and right here, this close, was an electrical wire. It was hot and had no insulation on it. Worse than that, we had paths leading to the cabins where the children have to go and they'd have to step over raw sewage. It was about that time Dave says, Johnny, we need to pray that the Lord will provide us for some property for our camp. Will you pray? Yeah, I'll pray. I had an idea it'd be a little bit of work. I had no idea how much work it would be. We'd name three or four men. Let's get with them. Maybe they'd be interested. They'll pray with us. The Bible says in Isaiah 65:24, before you call, I'll answer. Dave, if you remember, we had never contacted those men for prayer. And before we called, a lady from Murfreesboro with CEF said, have you heard about the property that Dr. Hackman wants to give? I said, no, I never heard of Dr. Hackman. Again, Dr. Hackman, a medical doctor, had been saved as a result of his 12-year-old daughter getting saved in a child evangelism Good News Club. She got saved, mom and dad got saved, and grandma got saved. And as soon as Dr. Hackman came to know Jesus, he wanted to start a camp in Middle Tennessee. And he offered that property to three different people, and none of them wanted it. Well, at least they told him, said, we don't have the money or the manpower, the time to develop it. We didn't know we didn't either, did we? Well, it was along about this time that also, to bring this group of Christians into view, David and several others said, we need to get over into the Donaldson area. As mentioned a while ago, there were some folks that were coming all the way from Donaldson over to West Nashville to Bellevue. And so they began to pray about starting this work that you people are enjoying. And as they began to pray, as a result of the radio broadcast in part, a group was gathered together, and they started meeting. And Dave and Teresa sold their home in West Nashville so they'd come out here and be a part of this work. Incidentally, when you start a new work, starting an assembly is not that hard. You can start a Bible class or work out with the children. But let me tell you what, it ain't easy. My wife's not here now, and you use the word ain't. It ain't easy to maintain one. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks. He was scourged, he was beaten, he was stoned. I don't have those kind of marks, but I do have the marks of hurt, of disappointment, of being an elder, of being a Christian leader. We don't need to enumerate it, but it's not easy just to maintain a body of believers. Paul had those experiences, and you read about them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it is. So anyway, this work was started, and first in a home, and I remember meeting with them in various places. But we're so thankful that the Lord has raised this group up. One thing you do need is spiritual leadership. You need spiritual gift. You need people who with, David, can you say amen? People with commitment? You need people with commitment. Need funds? Yeah, funds are. But we'll talk about funds when we get more to Mid-South here in just a few moments. So those are the, that's how the camp, the work here started. But then let's get back to Horton Haven, if you don't mind. We started praying and meeting with these men. And then we decided we'd have a camp back in 1976. And we decided we'd... Pardon me. We're going to have a camp. And there's nothing there but the wilderness. Now, a dear brother by the name of Bud Shapp and his wife had moved down, and they were going to help us, but Bud was a carpenter, but the only tools he had was handsaw and a hammer and those things. We had nothing skill saws, chainsaws, or those things. Thank you, brother. So we said, we're going to have a camp. Well, about a week before, maybe 2 weeks before the camp, I went to my wife, who's looking down on us this morning. I said, honey, we just found out that we're not going to have any electricity. Really? Well, we'll work around it. Not only that, we're not going to have any running water. Really? Uh-huh. And besides that, we're not going to have any bathrooms. No showers. Well, that took a back for sure. But those are the conditions that we started with. So what did we do? We said we're going to have a wilderness work camp. And that was some of the hardest work I ever did. It was a hot summer like this one. And we had to cut the trees down. I talked to teenagers the other day, and I said, you see my stick? I better not catch you defacing this property. I want you to know how much it's cost in blood, sweat, and tears, as well as money. And so we had that first week of wilderness work camp. Now, we put some little framework up, and we'd get in there with a garden hose, and we'd take our showers and our bathing suits. We had to build some outside privies, if you will. We got them approved by the state, and we're able to move on. But then, Lord, I want to tell you that from that day till this, Horton Haven has been one miracle after another. God's provision of people. If you come down this afternoon, you can meet some of them. We got some of them sitting right here on both sides of the table. God provides people. I thank the Lord that over the years He's provided safety. Can you imagine now? We have a high adventure area where kids get up and go a length of a football field zip line. Thank you. Big words get me. So on a zip line. And if you want to have some interesting time, come down and one of the little teenage girls are going off. They squirt, you can hear them for 3 miles. But we have the zip line, and the Lord has given us safety. And he's given us a lot of souls. That's what it's all about. You know what it says on the back of our shirt? Our goal is to create a camping environment where people come to know and follow Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's great to see them saved, but listen, we want them to see them saved. We want them to come back. A year or two ago, maybe longer than that, a little fellow got saved and went home. He was on staff. He'd been cutting grass around the camp all week. If you want to go on staff, it's work. And this little fellow went home, and his dad said, son, the front yard needs to be cut. You need to, oh, Dad, I've been cutting grass all week. Dad said, well, why do you want to cut? You don't mind cutting grass at Horton Haven, but you don't want to cut my grass. He said, Daddy, when I cut grass at Horton Haven, I feel like I'm cutting God's front yard. But Dad said, well, this is Dad's backyard. You really got to cut it. So those are some of the things that God has done. We have a Hobart dishwasher. That's as good as you can buy. And that's because some friends inherited a little money from Well, this is someone died in the family, bought the dishwasher. We have, for those ladies who work in the kitchen, we have a big mixer. It came to us because of a retired missionary. And he saw the need. And it's amazing the people that God has used. Another, we have a newer one now, but our coffee maker for a long time was one that had been retrieved from a dump. A man worked for a certain company, and the company got a new coffee maker. They took the old one and threw it away. He said nothing wrong with it. He was a little mechanically inclined, and he fixed out the coffee maker. Now, let me tell you about Bud Shapp. I'm not getting all these things in order, but Bud called me one day years ago, and he said, Johnny, I told you you didn't have anything but your chain, but his hand saw. He said, I can't do anything else until I get a wheelbarrow. I said, well, Bud, come on to Nashville where I was living. We'll get a wheelbarrow. Well, first of all, the camp did not, are you listening? Didn't even have a bank account. I was flat broke. Bud had no money. I said, we'll get a wheelbarrow. I did have a credit card, okay? So he came and stopped at the house. We started out going to Sears and Roebuck to buy a wheelbarrow. I said, wait a minute, let me check the mail. We had never received a gift for camp. We never received a gift through the mail for camp. I got out and got the mail, and I looked at it. There was a check in there to Mid-South. Now, this is back, no, to Horton Haven. Made out to Horton Haven. $500. You'd be amazed what kind of wheelbarrow you can get for $500. Well, we got a wheelbarrow. And that's why I said it's from a wheelbarrow to the observatory. And it was just this last year. Those who haven't seen it, we have probably the only first-class observatory in Tennessee apart from the universities. We have a first-class observatory. And this was given because of a brother who was retired from the Air Force. He had taught at the Air Force Academy out in Colorado, and he had this observatory. We have two telescopes, incidentally, and you need to come down and see what. And he gave it to us. First of all, he was thinking about giving it to the state. He thought, you know, they'll make it available for children. His wife said, oh, no. She said, you go to the state, they're going to tell you what to do. They're going to tell you what you can say and what you can't say. Give it to Horton Haven. Thank God for that wife. And he gave us the observatory. And it's been an added feature. And I don't know of a camp that has a first-class observatory. Somebody asked Matt, said, well, had you been praying for observatory? No, I said, that wasn't even on my radar. The Lord says, I'll do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. I've got some notes in case some of you ask me later about, for example, the lodge we built in 1997 for over $300,000. The gymnasium cost $372,000. The chapel, and then we got that extra property that was over $400,000. We've never had a fundraiser. We don't make pledges. We trust the Lord. And God's people, as the Lord lays on their heart, provide all these things for us. But you know that buildings and money, and that's not what camp's all about. As it says on the back of our shirt, there's our logo, to create a camping environment. That's great, you know, where people can come to know and follow Jesus Christ. Some 8 to 10 kids that we know of last week professed faith in Christ. We trust we'll see many more this summer, and that's what we're going to ask you to pray about. As you thank God for this facility and the fellowship that you have here, as you think back to Mid-South, thank God for the tens of thousands that came through Mid-South. Hundreds of them got saved. You know, one little added feature we didn't anticipate is since we got that new chapel. Let's see, what did it cost? The chapel was, it was $321,000. We've had several weddings take place. Just like a mass bridal school, we have a lot of people that fall in love at the camp and they get married. So that's another blessing. But I want you to turn back now to 1 John chapter 5, where we looked just a moment. You thought I forgot that, didn't you? Get so excited about what God's doing at Horton Haven, what he did for years at Mid-South Bible Conference, what he is doing now out in Bellevue at the Gospel Chapel, and what he's doing here at Christian Believers Fellowship. We give God the praise. We give God the glory. We want him to get the praise and the honor. Because we've gone from a wheelbarrow to an observatory. Verse 10, 5, 1 John 5. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And he who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given us. This word of God is the testimony that God, it's the witness that God gives about his Son. And then he goes on to say, this is the testimony that God has given. He gives eternal life. Now, the denomination I was saved in, what I remember, and I was there for the first 19 years of my life, I'm not saying they never heard the gospel, but I don't remember it. Like I told you, the preacher tried to tell me I'd been saved all the time, and I just didn't know it. But the Bible says he gives us eternal life. Well, where is this eternal life? It's in his Son. It's in eternal life. He said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life. If you want this life, you have to take Christ. See, there is salvation in none other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And then verse 12, he who has the Son. A lot of times I'll stop a kid in camp and say, are you married? Oh, no, I'm not 11 years old. What's the secret? Well, if a man has a wife, he's married. If he doesn't have a wife, he's not married. And if you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you just don't have it. Verse 12, he who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. In other words, you're dead. You're dead to God. You're dead to sin. And then he says, these things have I written unto you. Who? To you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And this verse has become precious to me because, as I mentioned, Kent talking to me that night, he kept bringing me back to this verse, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so you can know you're going to heaven. You can know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I'm so thankful for that night, 1947, when I trusted Christ as Savior. And since then, God, give him the glory, has used me to see many people come to know the Lord Jesus. My wife and I have had the privilege of going to Africa and I've gone to India and other places to share Christ. Because just like that first night, I want to wake up those 200 or 300, 400 sailors and tell them about Jesus. God has never withdrawn that passion. I want to see people come to Christ. And if there's anybody here today that is without Christ, God says that you may know that you have eternal life. One of the things that I have done, some of you, my wife's funeral, remember that? And we passed out to everybody who was there. Wordless book. She was a teacher of teachers, just like Dave and Teresa. She was a public school teacher. But not only that, she loved to teach children. In fact, the last picture we have that we know of her, she was sitting in the lobby of the chapel at the camp, listening to verses. And she loved to listen to verses. But she also loved to use the wordless book, she and Teresa and others. And I have personally, not only just since she died, but for a good while, I've been using the wordless book. And I'll come up to a child or to a parent and say, is this your boy? Is this your girl? Could I give them a gift? Everybody here likes a gift. If I ask for hands, just raise, we'd all raise. We all like gifts. And I've given away hundreds and hundreds of these. Not yet have I had one person say, I don't want the gift. Dear Brother Ben Earthman was good at this too. His technique was a little different, but we had the same goal, the same purpose. And so I'll offer them the gift. And I'll say, will you take the gift? And I said, let's open it up and I'll show you the gift. It's in here. Yeah, incidentally, I just ordered 300 more of them this week. And inside here's a little book. And I'm talking to you on the street, so perhaps you're my waiter or waitress. And I said, this little book has no words in it. That's why we call it the Wordless Book. It has no pictures in it. Oh, how on earth can it show? Tell us a story? Oh, I'm glad you asked. And then right here, I start showing them. And I can do this in 30 seconds, so I can take 30 minutes if they'll listen. You see the gold page? It reminds us of heaven, the glory of God, the majesty, the awesomeness of Almighty God. Forget about golden streets. Now, that's asphalt up there. But the golden page tells us about heaven. And every intelligent person wants to go there. There are a few stupid people, fools the Bible calls them. But this dark page tells you why you can't get there. It's called sin. And again, beloved, you can elaborate if you want to. But that's what the dark page or the black page is about. But I said, sin will keep you out of that glorious place. But then the red page tells about Jesus, his blood, and he gives eternal life to those who trust him. And beloved, whatever your method you use, when you tell the story of Jesus' crucifixion, don't forget the resurrection. Without the resurrection, the cross would not be enough. Jesus is resurrected. Anyway, there's the blood. And the blood shows us that God wants us to get to heaven. He wants that black, dark page to be forgiven. And then the white page, the clean page, that's what the blood does. It'll cleanse you, make you fit for heaven. Some time ago, my wife was in the hospital, and the little nurse was in there, and I pulled out my little wordless book. She had two children at home. I said, I'm going to give you this to take home to them. And I told her about the clean page. When you receive the Lord Jesus, I said, have you ever done that? She said, no, sir, but I want to. And best of my knowledge, she stood right there in the hospital and received Christ. And then he goes on to say, there's a green page. That tells us we want to grow. And we were just so thankful. Beloved, I have found this very successful. And to me, it's just one method. It's mine. Use it if you want to. If you got another one, it's working fine. But going back to Brother Ben Earthman, I've eaten lunch with him many times. And the poor waitress has no way of escape till he gives her the gospel. He shares Christ with her. And so that's my technique of using that. After many years of serving Christ, we have found this to be most helpful. But now in closing, I said I still got 10 minutes, and so I'm going to let you out early. You don't have many preachers that do that, do you, Dave? But let me just say this. I wish there were some of the children in here, but y'all, I got the leftovers. So, who's the youngest person in here? Nobody wants to admit. Now, that's the oldest. Anyway, nobody. You'll be sorry you didn't admit it if I tried to give you what I got here. Okay, come on up. You're my helper today, okay?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power of the sons of God. And he that has the Son has life. Now, I'm going to give you this wordless book. Of course, it's got the little book inside, but that's not all that's in it. Open it up, if you will. You'll find something else. What's that?
It's a coin.
It's a coin. It's a gold dollar. It's a real dollar. Now, you took the booklet, and you got the dollar. When you took the book, you got the dollar. Without the book, you didn't have the dollar. So she came up, she trusted me, she believed me, She received a book, and she got a booklet, and she got the dollar. Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
She got the dollar. It's hers because she received it. And that's just the way that I usually illustrate with children. When you take the book, you get the dollar. If you don't take the book, again, school teachers, you ain't got the dollar. They come together. So let's read that verse one more time. Verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness, the Holy Spirit in himself. And he who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony, the word of God, that he said about his Son. You know, that's pretty serious, isn't it? To say, I don't believe God. I don't believe in the word of God. Oh, hey, if you watch television at all, that's too much. You find out the world does not believe in God. They don't believe the Bible. They don't accept the word of God. But he who, verse 11, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in Christ. It's not in the church. It's not in religion. It's not in baptism. I was yesterday in the park. They have every Saturday they have tents and sell all kinds of stuff. I go down and I pass these things out. Talking with a little teenager, have you received Christ? Her mother spoke. Oh yes, she was baptized. I didn't ask her. She's been baptized. I love baptism. I've often said the Lord's tell us about the Lord's Savior as often as you do this, and we knew that we get to do that hopefully every week. But when it comes to baptism, only one time he tells us to be baptized after we were saved. Some of you know Aaliyah, who's from our chapel and also is big in camp. Well, when I baptized her and her grandfather, another long story, but she was standing there in the tank, and I said, Leo, why do you want to be? No, I asked her first. I said, how many verses did you learn this summer at Horton Haven? She said, I forget exactly, 42, I believe. She said something like that. I said, well, tell me why you want to be baptized. She says, because I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want everybody here to know it. Years ago, I was doing visitation, and I was at the Central State Hospital. And I went there to visit one particular, I started to say inmate, but anyway. And it was in a big room, and there was about 10 or 12 of these patients in this room. And Dave, I do what I call bootlegging the gospel. I'm talking to you, but I want everybody else to hear it. And so I was talking to this one patient, and in the back there was a huge guy. He must have weighed 400 pounds, black guy. Hey, preacher. Yeah, I was listening to the radio the other day. Preacher tells me I need to accept Jesus as my Savior. He said, I did it, and I'm saved. Great, praise the Lord. He said, a preacher tells me on the radio, I need to be baptized. And so I had nobody to baptize me, so I baptized me. Beg pardon, you did what? He said, Bible said I need to be baptized. There was nobody, so I baptized me. How on earth did you baptize yourself? He said, well, there's a pool out in front of the hospital here. And I got in and I said, I don't remember his name, we're going to call him Willie. He says, Willie, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? He said, I do, talking to himself. He said, Willie, I now baptize you in the name of the Father. And he went through it. And he said, then I baptize me. And he says, preacher, do you think God will accept that? I said, really, I believe God will accept it. But let me tell you something. We're baptized as a testimony. We're baptized to tell other people about it. Was anybody there to see it? No, sir. Preacher, will you baptize me? Oh, well, you remember not. One of the coldest Februarys I can remember. And the heater was not working in the baptistry. And I went all the way across town, picked Willie up. The hospital, got permission, of course, brought him back and baptized him. I love baptism. I wish the Lord said you could be baptized more than once, but as a believer, as a believer, we're baptized as a testimony. But then he said, as far as the Lord's Supper is concerned, we can do that as often as we will. It's a joy to be with you. It's a joy to share Christ. It's a joy to make Jesus known to you. I'm sure I've skipped a lot of things, the detail concerning the chapel here. Some of the folks that have been with you a long time could fill in those details, but I'm thanking God that there's a faithful group here who is committed to the Lord Jesus and are willing to take us. Hey, let me just say this. Our world is messed up. Our country is in shame. And we can panic and get all upset. We can dig our heels in and be firm about preaching this book and trusting God because he's in control. Scripture says he can turn the hearts of the king like he controls the current down the river. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Son of God who came to this world. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we in our poverty might be rich. Lord, you've told us we can take the gospel to the poor. We who are rich in Christ can make poor people rich by introducing them to Jesus. And so, Father, we just pray now that you will take the words that were given here, as well as the words that were given to the young people in the Sunday school classes, and that through it all, the Lord Jesus Christ will get the glory, the praise, and the honor. We thank you for the body of believers here. Thank you for the fellowship of Christians in Bellevue. We thank you for those who will continue to meet out at Horton Haven Christian Camp. We trust you, Lord, to continue to provide the people, the finances, and the protection, Lord, because of the dangers, not only physical danger, but heresy and other things could creep in among any of us. But most of all, we look forward, as we were singing, to the time when we shall see Jesus face to face. Except for our praise and thanks, then, Lord, because we ask it, giving thanks in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.